Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Chul and Daf Yud Aleph, we begin at the second line and continuing our discussion, which we began yesterday. We're looking for sources for various concepts that are found in Halacha throughout the Gemara. First was Chazaka, which was proven from the Halacha of Nega, as discussed yesterday. Here comes a new question. How do we know that we follow the majority, the Roiv? One of the most widely used formulas, Roiv, follow the Roiv. How do we know? Manoah Milsa says, how do we know this this fact? The Amar Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan teach us, Zil Basaruma, we follow the majority. So, for instance, you have a piece of meat in the street. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? Take a look at the stores in the area. If the majority is kosher, you assume this meat came from there. Or we have the same in the Beis Din, right? We have a disagreement in terms of how to paskin a shaila. We follow the majority rule, majority view. Most of the dayan, most of the judges go one way. We follow that their opinion. So how do we know? Minan milsa dam rabbanon zil basarub. Minolam? What do you mean? How do we know? It's a pasuk of the Torah that the verdict of a bezin is contingent upon majority opinion. Minolam dechsev achrei rabim lahantais. We follow the majority in the bezin. Says the Gemara for sure, ruba. A majority element that's present before us, that we see, that's tangible, these are come on, that's before us. Kigai, for instance, these actual two examples just mentioned. Kigai Teschanuyes, the story with the meat on the street, and you have nine stores around the area that are kosher and one is not. To say that you follow the nine versus the one, that's a ruba de isa come on, that's a rave that's here, that's present, it's tangible. Another example of the Sanhedrin, following the view of the majority, Dayanim, members of the Sanhedrin. So these are all Issa coming, they're here in front of you. Loi kamibaylan, that wasn't our question. That's a pasuk. Achri rabim lahatas. Rather, ki kamibaylan, our question was regarding a ruba de lesse kamon, a roiv factor which is not present before us. It's not tangible. It's not a visible roiv. It's more like, what's the more prevalent phenomenon? Statistically, right? Kigoy, for instance, katan uktana. So we have a woman whose husband passed away without children. She's a yivama. She must undergo yivam. Now, suppose the woman is a ketana. The potential yavam to perform the yivam is a katan, a minor. So what's the issue? Because perhaps by nature they can't bear children. Maybe they're this type of person. It's unlikely. Statistically, the majority do not have this issue. But maybe, yeah. In which case, it eliminates the yibum option. You can't do yibum if there's no potential for children. So that is a situation where we have to follow the roiv factor, which is more of a theoretical roiv. It's not an actual physical phenomenon in front of us that we could draw from, like the nine stores versus the one store that you can actually relate to in front of you. Here it's more of a statistical type of thing. More of a determining the laws of nature type of determination. So in this case, how do we know that we go with the right? We say, well, most likely they're healthy, like the majority of the world's population. Manala, Amr Balazar, Asya Mereisha Shel Oila. Take a look at the head of the Oila, of the carbon Oila. Now, you can't really break it apart to examine the interior to determine whether maybe the membrane around the brain is punctured, which would render it a treifa, which would make it possible for hakrava. There's no way to do that. Why? Damakra, the pasuk says, v'nitach oisa. You dissect the actual animal into sections, linsachea, into proper sections. Oisa, the actual animal itself, linsachem, into sections, but you can't take those sections and dissect them further. not its sections, linasachem, to be dissected further. So now the question arises, v'nechush, what about our concern, shema nikrav krum shel mayach? Maybe the krum, the membrane around the brain, in the head of the oila animal, was punctured, rendering the animal unfit for akrava. How would you know? You can't break it open. Elolab b'shum na'rinan, zilba basarub, if not for the idea of going with the roiv. Well, most likely, animals are healthy. Statistically, they're healthy. So that's a roiv, which is more of an abstract type of roiv. And that allows us to determine that most likely this animal is healthy and it's okay, it can be used for a carbon. So there's the source. Mimai, how do you know? Dilma de palile ubadakle. Maybe he actually does crack it open a bit. Cracks the skull open a bit, which allows him access to examine the interior. And regarding that issue of only proper parts rather than dissection, that's only true. That's if he really dissects it completely. But if it's still attached somewhat, just a little break, and it's still attached more or less, who says that's an issue? So perhaps that's what he does. Inspects it, determines that it's not a treifa and is makrivit, without a roiv element at play. Okay, marber deravina amar, I'll bring you another right. Asya, we learn it, mishviras etzem bepesach. A carbon pesach's bones may not be broken. Damar rachmana, pasach says, ve'etzem, a bone lay tishbur bo, you can't break. So now, it would trigger the same concern without any form of recourse in this case. You can't break it at all. Same issue. How do you know the Karban Pesach is kosher to eat? Maybe it's a trefa. Maybe it had an internal wound. You can't get there. You can't break the skull at all. Apparently you follow Rav. Most likely the animal is okay. You can eat it. Who says? True, you can't break the skull, but you can burn it. Burning is not breaking. Mimai, who says, Dilma de Monach, he places gumrasa, coal, alay on the skull, the color, and he burns it through till he gets to the membrane, which he will now examine, which will allow him to definitively conclude one way or the other, without relying on any theories. Ubadakle, he checks it, the sanya, as we learned, it's okay to burn the bones, amachatech begid, if he just cuts the sinews, that's not a bone, he burns the bones. Anybody mishim, there's no issue of Shviras etzim, there's no violation of breaking bones. So, there you go, without resorting to Rav. Next Raya. Rav Nachman Ritzel, Oma Asya Me'alya. Take a look at the tail. So, Omakrav, the tail of the carbon. Rashi says, Ashlamim Rachatas. Okay, so if it's the sheep, the ram, you have to take the Alya, the tail, and put on the Mizbeach. The Omer Rachman, and again, the Torah refers to it as a complete whole. Undissected tail, chelboy ha'alyo timima, tamim means whole. But how could you know what's going on beneath the surface? How could you check whether the chut ha'shedra, the spinal cord, which is vital to the animal's survival and health, how do you know it's intact? Without inspecting the inside of the tail, which you can't get to. V'lechosh, let us be concerned, shema nifsuka chut ha'shedra, perhaps the chut ha'shedra was split, was cut somewhere along the line, which renders it a treif. Allah mishun namrinon, zilba saruba. Apparently, we follow the roif, and roif animals are healthy. There's no issue. V'chitema, perhaps, the metatoi pasakle, perhaps. This whole issue is a non-issue, because the tail that we're talking about is the lower part of the tail, below the thigh area, in which case, even if the chut ha'shedra would have been broken there, will be okay, because at that point the chut ha'shedra sort of whittles out. It's not really so critical, so it wouldn't become a treifa, even if it was damaged there. So as long as the upper part is examinable, that's the critical part of the chut ha'shedra, you can determine the status of the animal. He lowers, pasakle chops off the alya there, meaning only the lower portion of the alya. No, the alya starts from way back up by the kidney area, where the chut ha'shedra is really intact and vital. Lumas ha'atzah, near the opposite, the kidneys. Amar Rachman, the Torah describes it. Mokim shakloyos yatzois, kidneys are called yatzois, they advise, they influence the thinking and thought process, the cognizance of a person or an animal. In any case, the audio that we're speaking of here starts from further back up, where the Chut HaShedra is a fully functioning entity and needs to be complete, undamaged. And you can't open that area because it's Tamima. It has to be whole and complete. No, perhaps he slices open the tail and checks the Chut HaShedra. And regarding the Tamima requirement, it's still Tamima. He didn't break it into two. It's only a concern if he actually cuts it into two separate. But if it's still somewhat connected, there's no concern. There goes that proof. I'll bring you another raya. That we follow the majority. We follow the Rav element. Asi, we learn it me'egla rufa, from the beheaded calf, brought on account of a victim discovered on the road. Damar achmana ha'arufa. Ha'arufa has to be whole kishishlema. To have, it has to be intact. You can't break it up. You can't cut it up. So then how do you know that it's not a treifa? But leichus don't a treifa. El alav, so it must be. We apply roiv. Mishnamrin is a basaruba. Ask the Gemara v'chitam, and perhaps you'll say, manaf kimina. You know what? It's not really a carbon in the base of Midrash. So even if it's a treifa, it would be okay. So there goes our whole proof. It doesn't have to be a confirmed non-treifa. Incorrect. Ha'amrit v'rabiyani, we learned in a braisa kapora. Ksiba kekach, the Torah refers to it as kapara. Kapara l'amcha Yisrael, very similar to karbonis. And just as a carbon has to be a non-treifa here as well. So that's a right that we apply the right factor to validate the Ekla Ruf. Rava bar Rav Shil Omar, another right, Asher mi paraduma. Paraduma, same idea. Omar achmona v'shachat v'sarav. You shecht and you burn it. We connect the two processes. Mashke tosek shishlem, just like shechita occurs when the animal is intact and whole, right? You shecht the whole animal. Asrei fosek shishlem, likewise the burning process must involve a complete, whole cow. Undissected. Well, if you can't dissect, you can't access. You can't access. You can't examine. If you can't examine, you can't determine that it was a non-trefa. V'leichosh duma trefi. So that triggers the trefa concern. Apparently apply the rive factor as well. Perhaps you'll argue, you'll say, Maf Kimina. Who says a treif of paraduma is not okay? Who says you need to be again chatas kai rachmana? Torah refers to as a chatas. Lemeini the chatas, he says Rashi. So it's comparable to a carbon of Bais HaMikdash, which would be invalidated if it's a treif. Apparently it's a non treif. How do you know it's a non treif? Because of rive. Another right, Rav Achbar, Rekav Amar, Asa, we learned, Misar Mishtaleach, the second goat on Yom Kippur that's tossed down the mountain, right? Chmona Amar, V'lalkach Shnei Asirim, Torah refers to both goats, the one that's meant as a carbon Lashem, as a chatas, and the one that's meant Lazal, will be sent out as one pair, one comparable pair. Shiyu Shneim Shav, and that to be similar to each other. And the question is, V'leichash Dilma, we turn to Amar Beis, V'delma, same issue, maybe the one that's a chatas, you can open it up afterwards and check it, but the one that's being thrown down the mountain, Dil Machad Min HaTrefi, maybe one of them is a trefa. Dil Machad Min HaTrefu. So fine, you'll check, but you can only check the one that's a chatas. But the one that's thrown down the mountain, you can't ask, Elalab Mishun Dab Rinaz of Azaruba. Apparently, you're probably right. You say it's probably not a trefa. Vachitem Marf Glamina. Says the Gemara the same question. Who says trefa is an issue by Sarah Lazazel? It's not a carbon. No. Because the goat that's ultimately going to be sent out to the desert had to have potential suitability for a chatas. Because although ultimately one is determined as, is labeled as Lashem, as chatas, the other one Lazazel, but before you determine, before casting that lot, doing that lottery, both animals had to be of equal stature, of equal potential to be used as chatas. They both could not be trained for. Ho'ein Goyro, the good of the lot, which determines which one is chatas, which one is lazal. Kaveh, it can't determine. It can't be activated. Even lazal, on the one that's going lazal, el bedavar, unless that item, that animal, is haroi lashem, which is suitable for lashem, for a chatas, meaning healthy non-treifa. Okay, so maybe I'll examine him. But no, you can't. It's not possible. Before you even got to the half down the mountain, he would totally break apart into sections. Too late for any examination. Ashanasa Evarim, Evarim, it turns into parts. So the only way is by applying the Roiv formula. Rav Mari Amar, another Raya. That Roiv allows us to determine status. We learn from the Halacha, a person strikes his father or mother, which makes him liable to death, right? Omar Achmana Torah says, Kali, kill him. Hold it. How do you know he's his father? How do you know this man that he struck is his real, legitimate, biological father? You never know. Maybe he's not really his father. El Alav, apparently we apply Roy, Mishnamrin, we say, look, Zuba Sarubu, we follow the majority of a Roy, Bi'ilos Acharabal, these are married. So most likely, Roiv interactions was with her husband. So Roiv determines the status. Mimai, who says that you have to employ Roiv? Duma, perhaps when the Torah says that we kill a son who struck his father, that's limited to where we know definitively, without doubt, that it's his father. Dilma Kigoyin, for instance, show you other ve'ima, his father and mother, chabushim, locked up in prison with nobody else around, beis hasur, afilocha, still, that wouldn't really prove beyond a doubt, because in apotropos, there are no caretakers. There's no way to know anything when it comes to la'arayis, when it comes to these issues. Very precarious topic, and therefore, there's no way to really confidently determine unless you employ roiv. That's another roiv. Rav Kana Omar, another proof that Roiv is always applied. We learn from the halacha of a murderer. Reuben kills Shimon. Omar Rachman Torah says, Kali, we kill Reuben. 1 second, how do we know? Maybe Shimon was half dead person already. Maybe he was unhealthy. Maybe he was a treifa. A person who kills a treifa is potter. It's like he killed a dead person, slated for death. Velechosh dum a treifa. Perhaps Shimon was a treifa. How are you ever going to know? If not for Roiv, that determines otherwise. Hell alive, apparently, Mishum Nabrin and Zuba Zeru, we go with the Roiv. No, who says? Maybe we have to examine the victim. We check his vitals, we check his internals, and we see what's going on to determine. That's unlikely, Hokaminvo, because that would be very disrespectful for to the dead person. No, but perhaps you can argue, Mishum Ibud Neshama Dahai Ninvalin. Although it's not something we don't do post-mortem, autopsies, but to save this murderer's life, we're obligated to do anything we could to get to the truth. Rashi brings the pasuk, v'itzilu eda. We have to make all effort to spare him from punishment if there's some sort of saving, grace. Says the Gemara, so that would be the question. Perhaps you check. So you only kill the murderer if it's determined that the victim was not a treifa. But you're never really going to get to the bottom because v'neichosh shema b'mokim sayif nekev hava. Fine, his lungs are okay, everything. But maybe, okay, he killed him with a sword, right? But maybe at that exact place, that exact point of contact, would a sword hit the person? Maybe there was already a pre-existing wound, a puncture right there, which rendered him a treifa. You'll never know. There's no way to find that now. V'nech Hashem v'b'mokim saif, the place where the saif struck him, the sword nekev, there was a nekev. So, the only way around that is to say, look, stop speculating, go at Raiv, most likely it wasn't. Right? And therefore, we consider him to be a full, healthy person who was killed by Reuven, and Reuven is deserving of Misa. Ravina Amar, another Raya, very similar. Asya me'edim zomimin. We learn from the halacha of edim zomimin. So two witnesses had ganged up on this victim, testified falsely against him regarding a matter that would make him liable to Misa. What does the pasuk say? If it was discovered that these two Edom are really fakers, they're plotters. Damar Achmona v'asisim loy, we do to the plotter, kasher zomim laslachav, as he had intended on inflicting on his victim. The question is, fine. Reuben and Shimon, the Edom Zomim, tried to kill Levi, unjustifiably. But maybe Levi was really a treifa. So technically, they weren't trying to kill a healthy person. So why would you turn it back on them and kill them? V'leichosh dilma hach tasidume treifa hava. Perhaps the person that they testified against was a treifa. El labish namrin zobasaruba. Apparently, we apply the roiv concept. We don't entertain these unlikely speculations. So as the Gemara says, perhaps we have to examine him. After he died, Levi, you have to examine him to determine whether he's a trip. Atanya. That's incorrect, because Beribi, the great Chacham, told us, Aymer, no, that's not the way Edom Zemim works. Actually, we only kill them if they did not carry out, if their plot was not brought to fruition. Then we kill them. Harga, but once their plot is brought into actuality and the victim was actually killed by the Bez, and then it was discovered too late that the fellows were merely plotters, then it goes into a whole different realm of, it's not Edom Zemim, we don't kill them. So clearly Levi was not yet killed, so there's nothing to examine. It was merely on account of their attempt. And that cannot be determined. How can you know what Levi is all about, if he's healthy or not? Apparently, Raif tells us that he was healthy. Ravash Yomar, another Raya, one last Raya. Asya, take a look at Shechita. We learned Hilchos Shechita, right? Asya, Mishchita, Atzma. Take a look at the process of Shechita. Dom Rachman HaTorah says, Shechit ve'achoyel. Shecht and eat. Hold on, how do you know that the animal was okay? Maybe at that exact spot where the knife cut through, there was already a pre-existing puncture which will never be noticeable later on, even upon examination. Let's be concerned, Shema, perhaps b'makim nekev k'shachat, he's doing shechita on that pre-existing hole, if not for the rave telling us otherwise. El alav, it must be b'shem namrin zubazaruba. Amar Vashi, we have so many proofs. We have shechita, edim, zemimim, ritzicha, Maka of Avi Imai, etc., etc. Omar Rashi, Amrisa Lishmata presented this series of proofs, Kamedir of Kahana to Rav Kahana, to prove that we follow Roiv even when it's less a Kaman, when it's not something that's actually in front of us, it's more theoretical, it's more statistic, it's more about laws of nature. For Amrisa, some say it was Rav Kahana who presented it Kamei to Rav Simi. V'Amar Lei of Amar Li, and he responded to me with a question. Sure, but all these cases that you brought are cases without a real alternative. You're right, there's no way to determine without rave. You can never know, was there a hole in the lung, in the makam shechita? Was it? You're right. So perhaps in these cases, the Torah says, you know what? Follow the rave, because you have no other alternative. But suppose you're faced with a situation where you do have another way of verifying, another means of determining. Perhaps you have to. Perhaps you can't just rely on rave. How do you know, right? But I'm really told Vidima, perhaps, Eicha, De'efshar, when you have another possible means of verification, efsha, then yeah, that's different, then you should do that. Hecha de lo efsha, lo efsha. When you can't, you can't, so then you go with the roiv. And I'll even prove to you that we make this distinction, that this chiluk is valid. De lo temache, because otherwise, if you don't agree with me, to the friendship between efsha and lo efsha. We all know Rav Meir concerns himself even with minority issue, even with small percentages. So that the classic case is the story with the Yavam and the Yavama, the Ketanim. He says, no, hold up, wait up until they grow up, in which case you'll see whether they're of childbearing, you know, potential, right? Because there's certain signs, certain features, certain indicators on the person which allows us to determine that, right? Okay, so you have to wait. The Chayash Lemiyut. So that's despite the Rav declaring otherwise. Most likely the kids are healthy. But Rami says, you know what? You never know. We have to be concerned even about an unlikely scenario, even about a mute. So you mean to say, Kodra Meir, you can't eat a meat? For concern of this unlikely, far-fetched concern that the fellow shechted on the hole? Hachanami d'l'echel bisri, mean doesn't eat meat? Perhaps, yeah, you're right, doesn't eat meat. Says they want Yivezim and Aleph. That's good for, you know, Shabbos. But what about Pesach v'Kachim? That's good for private consumption. What about Karban Pesach, which everyone has to eat? V'Kachim, Karban, everybody has to eat. As she says, it's part and parcel of the Kapara. A Shlomim is brought, and the Kohanim and the owner eat the meat. That's part of the Kapara. Michael Omer, how are you going to get around that? Elo, so you must say, there's a difference between Efshar and Le'efshar. Elehecha de Efshar, Efshar. When you have another alternative, you have another choice, like the katan and ktana, you can just let them grow up and then determine. So you meant to do that without resorting to roiv. Hechad lo yafsha, when you can't, like Pesach v'kachim lo yafsha, you can't. So you go with the roiv. Hechanamis, here as well regarding us, even going to Rabbanan, we typically go with the roiv, Maybe that's only when you have no choice. When you can, lo yefsher, so lo yefsher, fine, you go with the rav. But otherwise, when it's efsher, when you have another means of verification, like by the cases that you could, like by the Chatam Niktana, who says you resort to rav. So basically, we haven't really answered our question. We know for a fact, that was the Kabbalah, that was the Torah Shebaal Peh, that we follow rav in all cases. According to Rabban, Halechas Achar Rav, whether it's Isei Kaman, what's Lesa Kaman, whether it's Efshem, what's Lei Efshem, how do we know? So Rashi says, the conclusion of the Gemara will be, Elavadai, this is the fifth line of Rashi, Elavadai Halacha L'Moshe Misinei. Apparently it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinei, it's handed down by Moshe Rabbeinu from Sinai, orally, that what? That we are Seimech on Rav, I feel even when there is another means of verification, we follow Rav. Rashi says that's what we're Seimech on today, that's what we rely on when we shecht. We don't check all the 18 possible treifa issues, because rav animals are presumed to be healthy and okay. The only thing we check, he says, is the lungs for possible punctures, because that's very common. So even though it's a miut, but since it's a common miut, chachamu umachmer, and we do a check on that. But otherwise, in terms of the other potential issues, we do follow the majority. To be machshir the animal. Okay, so we started with the question, what's the makor of rov? And we differentiated between Isei Kaman, like the Sanhedrin, like the nine stores. Certainly, that's a pasuk, we follow rov. What about Lesei Kaman, when it's a matter of laws of nature, determining based on sort of statistics and likelihood? We had several riots, but even those only got us to a point of Loyafsha, when there's no other option. What about if there's an option to wait and to figure out? So bottom line is, it's halacha l'shem Sinai, to follow rov under all circumstances. Okay, all the best to you and atzlacha rabbah.